Hello, welcome to the next episode, or next mini-sode, of our NEC talk. This time we talk to Paul, who is the Academy Director of SIA Austria. We chat about his views on the snow show, the safety in resorts, when he strapped on a board for the first time, and a little bit on the mechanics of snow sports. Again, this episode is sponsored by The Shred Shed. Check them out on Instagram by typing in The Shred Shed, and check out their amazing new clothes that are eco-friendly and comfortable to wear. Hope you guys have a good listen, and see you in the next one.
Well, this is Paul from the SIA Academy in Austria. They do some of the best ski courses and snowboard courses that I know of. Again, we were talking earlier, how have you found the convention? We have had a little bit of moan, like...
Yeah, the show, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, actually, I was speaking to a few people who are normally see down in Battersea or connected in the industry a bit, and I think we're all of the same opinion. It was a little bit short.
Yeah.
Like, just having a Saturday, Sunday, it's not long enough, really, you know, and especially with the investment you put in, it's a lot of money to set up stands here in this show, and, you know, I've got two stands here, so it's even double the money.
And
then sponsorship as well with things, so it would have been nice to maybe have had the Friday as well.
Yeah.
I know people have had a bit of an opinion about what's on sale here, I suppose, like, you know, CBD oils and cat food and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's funny. It's cool.
The cat food's got to pay a little bit. Like,
and I think the parking charge got people a bit, and it was like 16 quid.
Well, we parked over to the train station. Threw ourselves over to there, which is cheaper. It's super... I don't agree with the park.
Yeah, like I say, most people are in the Hilton Hotel, like, where it's free.
Yeah.
So yeah, but it's generally, you know, you've got to have a presence. We used to do this in like Ryanair and EasyJet would have in the magazine, the in-flight magazine, you'd have an advert. You don't expect people to book, but it's like your name's getting out there. And this is what it's about. It's really just about getting your product out there.
Yeah,
even when you're at the top, you've still got to keep
making
people aware.
Yeah. Otherwise it's just going to go downhill, and
it is.
Yeah. So we were going to do like some light talk about your product stuff, but then we had as we were walking here, we'll do some controversial topics, which I'm all for. And so as a snowboarder, it seems like you get a lot of hate, so a lot of snowboarders coming your way that do disagree with some of your opinions. Is there any sort of stories or an opinion you've got right now that for people to show that go, I don't know about that.
I just like winding people up. Actually, as you well know, I'm a snowboard instructor as well.
Yes.
But and ski, it is a bit weird because Ski Instructor Academy, it's not true, it's actually Snowboard and Ski Instructor Academy. So it was a bit of a mistake making that name, which is why we actually shrunk the name to SIA.
Yeah.
Because then people didn't say ski at the start. So, like, this week we've got 29 snowboarders arriving to do a snowboard course. So, yes, we are snowboard friendly, and I just like to play games with it. But, you know, a lot of the problems with snowboarders are more to do with skiers who don't understand that in snowboarding, when you're making a certain turn, like a back, backside turn, you can't see.
Yeah.
And these collision accidents are often the mistake of the skier rather than the boarder, because a bit like, I don't know, if somebody's driving a big lorry, if you drive on the inside of that lorry in the roundabout, you're going to get squashed.
Yeah.
So it's people trying to, when they're skiing and boarding, we need to, just like when we drive, we need to be defensive. We need to be aware of everything around us. And of course, the big issue is on, most accidents and safety concerns, it's more to do with people boarding or skiing in straight lines. Like literally, they can't turn.
Yeah.
You know, it's the hardest thing we try and teach our boarders and skiers when they arrive is, hey, have you ever thought about turning? Because they don't understand how to finish a turn. And they think they're turning when actually it's getting straighter and straighter. And as the force is built up, they can't handle the force.
Yeah.
So the board stops bending and they end up in a straight line down the mountain.
We have a lot of that problem, especially in snow domes. Because you'll have people that will, won't be on a mountain until you know, like I say, a little bit later, and they've just used to snowboarding or skiing in a snow dome where they
confined.
Yeah, and it's also a turn won't, like, they can get away with it. So we have a thing in snow dome we call a snowboard free turn, and basically they're just straight running it down the hill, and they're not really closing actually off their turn. They're not putting performance into it. So not when they get on a mountain, they're going bang already. They don't know how to control their speed or line, you know,
which is dangerous for everybody, because yeah, when your group is making controlled turns,
yeah,
and somebody's straight lining, you're going down the mountain slower, which means that person catches up with the group very quick, and before you know it,
bang,
there's an accident, you know? And especially on places like glaciers, because they're very open and wide open around these trees.
Yeah.
The slopes are extremely wide, which encourages speed. So yeah, it doesn't encourage turning. So one of the first things we do when everybody's arriving is we're trying to get them to be safe.
Yeah.
And take the responsibility. You know, if you were going to cross a road, you would look up left and right, you know, and
space,
it's like, you don't necessarily have to teach people the fist rules and regulations. These are these 10 points on the mountain. You just have to say, look, treat it like you would a road. You wouldn't stop over the lip, you know, which is by taking the piss out of snowboarders. That's where they like to stop, just over the lip, and a big gaggle like that, you know, like sitting there with their boards in the air. So yeah, you don't need to do that. You know, you have to think, come on, can somebody see me or not? It's the bleeding obvious.
Yeah, it is. You know?
But yes, but snowboarding, I remember when I took my snowboard exam, and as you know, as you get higher in the qualifications, you have to do, in Austria, you have to do a snowboard exam. We don't have the option of adaptive or telemark. It's a snowboard exam. So I had to do one, and I think I was about 43 or 44 then. And it was like, oh, what am I going to do? I don't know if I can do this. And I took it, but I got a friend to teach me, and I took the exam after 3 days, and I passed it. But as I was saying to you, if you come and did skiing, you, because you're used to sliding and you're used to the sensations of speed, you would be to do the same with skiing. You would pick it up so fast, because
it's also the instructor mindset. As soon as you come from, you go into snowboarding, you already have that instructor mindset of, right, this is the criteria, I need to do this, and bang, get it done.
And a lot of people don't realise, like on a snowboard, there's actually 4 edges.
Yeah.
You know, they think it's just 2 edges, and they don't understand you can pedal it or you can twist the board, which is now we're getting into a very similar structure of skiing.
Yeah.
So whereas we talk about fore and aft in a ski, you know, boarders naturally use fore and aft.
Yeah.
They'll get onto their backside, or they get onto the heel of the board. Whereas skiers think that's a bad thing a lot of the time. They don't realise the power of the ski is often in the tail as they're finishing the turn. Because they're told to get forward, which is actually wrong. Whereas in snowboarding, you see snowboarders actively move to the back of the board to release the turn.
Yeah. And that exaggerates way more and more in
snowboarders are sometimes quite clever.
Yeah.
You know, you never know, they really are.
It's just all the same thing. You when you work the ski, you're getting the rebound, and you're feeling at the end of that turn that, you know, the pressure
deflection
towards the end of the turn. Yeah, the deflection of the ski. And as you said, it's the same thing with the board. You're feeling, as you come in and bring it, closing off that turn with that back foot, you're feeling more pressure on the tail, bang, and then that sets you up to the next turn.
And that's the fun of the thing. That's when you really feel the energy and the dynamicness from side to side. And of course, if you do a Basie course, let's say, you talk about flow. And that's where that flow is. Flow is that feeling of linking, you know, and that energy transferring side to side.
Yeah.
So, no, I think with snowboarding, you know, people were on about in a recent podcast about it. Is it resurgent? Is it coming back?
Yeah,
I think the Olympics might have helped it a bit, because with skateboarding, for example, you know, people say skateboarding, link it to snowboarding. Oh, this could be a great thing for the future. The problem with snowboarding is from the money side, from ski schools. When people can toe and heel side turn, they stop taking lessons. And that to a ski school is like, oh, that doesn't really bring in money.
Yeah.
Whereas skiing, people stay in lessons longer. And that obviously interests the ski school more. And that's why I was saying to you recently, I was like, look, if you're going to do a snowboard qualification, try and do a ski at the same time. Do a dual.
Do
both together. Because if you want to work in the industry, you're going to need to know how to ski, unless you're going to work in, let's say, America, Canada, South America, maybe. Where when I'm in Argentina, for example, it's 50% snowboarders, 50% skiers. But always be aware that advanced snowboard lessons are few and far between. Whereas advanced ski lessons, a lot more people take advanced ski lessons again. So from a money side, skiing
And would you say that's because of the culture that snowboarding has came up from, being a rebellious kind of culture?
Cool.
Yeah, where, you know, oh great, I've got the minimum amount I want to do, I'm just going to just go and do my own thing, and I don't need any help to do that. You do say that quite a lot.
Yeah. It's a combination of two things. So they basically, first of all, it is that side where they think they're too cool for school, so fine. But we had, about 3 years ago, a guy came in, he was a World Cup snowboarder, freestyle snowboarder. I mean, unbelievable in the park. Obviously, sponsored the full whack. But he was a terrible snowboarder. I mean, we had to really help him to get through the exam. Because, of course, in the exam, you've got to do all the slow stuff. You've got to slow down, you've got to be teaching beginners, you've got to learn about, you know, certain movement patterns that they want to see, whether it be in the Basie or the Austrian or the Canadian system. He found the discipline side difficult, obviously, because that's what it's about. It's about a bit of discipline. But equally, when you get kids coming in who haven't had any history of lessons beyond toe and heel side, then you really are trying to start again with the movement patterns. They've found a way to kick the board from turn to turn. And all of a sudden, you have to explain to them about pedaling or about how to use the snowboard correctly. And that's difficult. You're breaking habits that they're probably ingrained into them. And really, I just don't think people see the importance, because when you're sliding down the mountain, you're getting enjoyment, sliding side to side, whatever it is, you feel like that's maybe enough. And you don't understand that there's so much more there. And if you just took even a two-hour private lesson when you started your holiday with a good high-level qualified snowboard instructor, you would boost that holiday feel, that sensation of doing something on your holiday. But yes, I just think people financially probably think, I'm not going to spend the money that way. I'd rather spend it on my CBD oil, marijuana or whatever it is, or my beer. But they should invest in it.
I'm totally agreeing with that. Like, I think snowboarding has done a decrease just because, you know, to a person who's even starting or wanting to become an instructor and they look at snowboarding, a lot of it is, there's a main freestyle aspect, and it gets to a point where, you know, it's cool, and I don't think I'll never think I'll be able to do it just because how hard it is and you need goods, but it's all gymnastics then, you know?
Absolutely.
It gets to a point where you see, you know, X Games or the Olympics where they're just throwing whatever amount of spins, and to me that's not, like, appealing. If I was I don't think I'll ever go to that. But what I find is, you know, the actual mountain riding, getting into more the techie stuff and reading and how does this board work, how can I make my riding better on all the variable terrain, like, you know, moguls, even icy terrain, and getting the fun from that, which there's not a big snowboarding, you know, industry, like, people that do that, that have that sort of drive to get that tech. That's it's a lot more in skiing, which is why
if you look at, in skiing, like 90% of the business in a ski school is skiing.
Yeah.
10% is snowboarding. 90% of the accidents are snowboarders. And it's, you know, this thing with collarbones and wrists, it's typical. And when people ask me about it, an embarrassing one I told recently was, I had a family come and they were talking about it about 8 years ago when I still taught. And they were going, my son skied all the time, but he's going to go off and do a snowboard lesson. And I very stupidly said, you can visit him in hospital on Sunday with his broken collarbone. What did he do? Broke his collarbone. And he came, and I was really embarrassed by that. I just made it as a sweeping statement, but it was a bit stupid. But he actually did break his collarbone, because the risk of injury is much higher compared with skiing, where you've got two things on your feet separate. You can step around, and if you fall, it's different. Snowboarding is so important that people are taught how to land. And of course, the natural thing is to put the hand out, and that's it.
Yeah, that's
hard to break that habit. So there is a danger element on a ski holiday and a board holiday that you could, coming for just 7 days, on the first day, you might just ruin things. So, you know, we don't want to put people off sports. Yeah. There's always a risk of injury. But just be aware that you need a good trainer. You need somebody who's going to really explain these things to you to minimise those risks as much as possible. Otherwise,
perfect.
Things happen.
Yeah.
And how have you found, like, just snowboarding in general, in terms of the culture? I've kind of seen it be a lot more come to a bit more of a professional side, it's definitely been a lot more disciplined over the last 10 years. But I want to know your Paul, how you see it really. Like, what do you see it going that way, or do you see it still being in its early 2000 roots where it's just that rebellious nature?
Interestingly, when I was in New Zealand, I think about 12 years ago, and snowboarding was, you know, when the X Games was kicking off and all that sort of stuff, what I would say to our lot then is I would reflect back to New Zealand and say, hey, those kids there, these kids from Australia, New Zealand, I would be in the gym with them doing, like you say, gymnastics. Yeah. I'm a gymnastics coach, doing a lot of gymnastics. They'll be doing a lot of weightlifting and stuff. And I think people don't see what these amazing athletes are doing behind the scenes. They don't realise it's not just a matter of going into the park and throwing themselves off things. They're actually doing a lot of work behind the scenes, and a lot of mobility, stability, flexibility, avoiding injury as best as they possibly can. Because some of the tricks they're doing, they know they're at risk. You know, there is a chance they're not going to land it. But they want to make sure if they don't land it, they're minimizing the risks to their joints. So therefore, I would be saying that, yes, there is a discipline, but it tends to be in the real high-end people who actually, you know, it's a bit in any sport. People don't see what people are really eating, what people are really drinking.
Yeah.
When people are sleeping, they don't know these high-end athletes. They're not getting 4 or 5 hours sleep. They're getting 8 hours sleep. They're sleeping properly. They're drinking properly. They're looking after themselves. They may come across cool with a Red Bull in their hand, but I guarantee they're not drinking that crap really. They're actually looking after themselves for longevity in their career. If you're the type that thinks it's all just about chilling, smoking and whatever, then it'll not last. It'll be a short career. So I do think there is a discipline, but it's there at the high end. I mean, you look at the guys on the race boards. It's
mad.
Phenomenal.
Mad.
Now, you can't tell me they're the same ilk. You know, they're completely different.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're athletes. But yeah, nobody wants to take it away from snowboarding. Nobody wants to steal that away, that it's their passion to be a bit rebellious, a bit chilled and stuff like that. And I think that's cool. I think they should be. I think that's a great thing. But of course, when Twin Tips came in, that drove a lot of, you know, split it a bit. There's two options to people now. And of course, the hardest thing we have with our course participants coming into ski is to say, I'm sorry, son, but those full tilts and those skis, you can't do a ski instructor course on them. You're that's right. Not what they're meant for.
It looks a bit professional. You have a guy coming in with, like, let's say he's in a full on, like, onesie, like twin tip skis, and then there's a trainer probably nearly over him.
We won't let them. We wouldn't let them on the exam because the ski and the ski boots not set up to progress them. Look, if you're going to spend 5,000, 6,000 euros to do a level 1-2 course and you turn up with a pair of full tilts, I can't teach you. I can't get you to progress the way you should be to progress because you're wearing kit that's meant for a trampoline. But look, the trouble is the skis look cool because they've got the nicer top sheets, whereas an alpine downhill ski looks boring. So you can understand why they want to buy that one with a cool top sheet and they want to buy the full tilts because they've seen their guys in the park on it. They think, well, that's the way to go. That's going to make me look cool. But unfortunately, you're going to have to spend another 1,000 euros getting a proper set of kit because you bought something that's meant for jumping and landing.
Yeah.
And jumping and landing is a different mechanics. It's in physics, it's called class 1 levers. In skiing, we use class 2 levers in short and long turns. And it requires Achilles and plantar fascia tension, gastrocs and soleus. It's a different mechanics. And I've got to educate people on our courses about anatomy 101, which is extremely important.
Yes.
Unfortunately, not all companies do that.
You are correct. Just before I leave you, I got one more question, just to do with, like, ski boots in this sort of sense. I remember listening to the Ski Instructor podcast and they were talking about how having a softer ski boot works well for a skier, as in they can not all the time having super stiff ski boots because you get to a point where when you're skiing you want, you know, flexion in almost all three joints, your ankles, your knees, your hips, don't you? So having a stiffer boot, that flexion in the ankles isn't really there, so it more goes into the knees and the hips, and therefore when you're skiing later on that you have sort of a, you know, injuries in those sort of ends. So maybe having a softer boot has has a longer longevity on
you're
your
digging
health.
Yourself a hole in a minute, Alex. You keep talking.
I'm this is something I want to just get you.
A ski board has a ramp angle in it.
Yes.
Do you know what that is? Like a drop. So to make life easier for the human body, way back in the 80s when Nike brought out their pumps, the Nike pumps and all that, we changed the human anatomy. They basically destroy people. People don't know that they're often, when they're standing, I watch people stand, they're leaning forward. They don't know they're doing it. But their boots, over decades, have started to change the human anatomy. And basically, a ski boot has a ramp angle in it. In other words, the degree of the ramp angle is that plastic. If you ever seen inside a ski boot, it has like a plastic sheet at the bottom. Mm. Now, that sheet might be about 5 degree ramp angle, which means that it's lifting the heel up, yes?
Yeah.
Now, that's a controversial part, because do you know where ski boots were designed from way back? They were designed from hiking boots.
Mm. Yeah?
What do we use hiking boots to do?
Hike.
Oh, uphill.
But if you're like
but
that,
we ski...
Downhill.
Downhill. So that's why my argument when I start talking about biomechanics, I talk about gas pedaling people sometimes. What that means is that if I see somebody as a strength and conditioning coach, I would watch them say, do a squat for me, and I see this struggle with a squat. They come up on their toes, or they bend forward, or their toes point out, or their knees collapse in. You would think, right, they've got restrictions in ankle movement and dorsiflexion. So you put something under their heel to make it easier for them. You cheat the system. Now, in a ski boot, that's what we're doing. But is that the right thing is the question. Well, on Thursday or Friday, I'm doing a release of a podcast on, or a video cast on YouTube that will basically criticize probably most of ski boot fitters around the world from an anatomy side. And I'll explain why they're all wrong. And I'll start talking about very complex parts of the bone structure and the navicular and the subtalar joint. But it's very important. Now, in snowboarding, do you have a ramp angle built into your snowboard boots? Do you know?
We don't.
You don't know?
No, we don't. Literally, it is a flat.
It's a flat shoe.
It's a flat shoe. I think once every
Talking before about guys saying, oh, you need a soft boot for these people.
Yeah.
No, you don't. The problem is everybody's different. And ski boots, unfortunately, because obviously they're designed from the World Cup first, it floats down. They just do their technology around that. Now, the angle of the shaft of a ski boot on a beginner wants to be more upright, and the lean wants to be, or the lift wants to be higher, because beginners would use a class one lever, okay? But an advanced skier who wants to do super slalom or short turns wants the opposite. They want more that direction, forward lean, and they want more drop. In other words, we want their heel to go lower in the boot, because that will create a hook. It'll pressure the ski quicker because it'll allow them to access a class two lever. Sounds complicated.
Yeah,
so
I'm joking.
The podcast, I've got a slideshow. So it shows the human anatomy and why. And in boarding, there's a little bit of a difference that in boarding in the anatomy and how you work in dorsi and plantar flexion. So I'd have to explain that because it's quite complicated compared to skiing. But yes, if anybody wants to know more about it, I can tell you. But to answer your question, that's not true.
Okay, good, perfect, thank you.
Right.
I was very confused on that question, and you know, I am a snowboarder.
Off air, I'll explain more why.
Perfect. Just want to plug yourself in really quickly. Just like,
we're ski instructor academy. We're the largest ski and board company in the world. So yeah, type us in, you'll find us. And this Saturday, we've already got 200 people arriving. Join us anytime. We're here. We're everywhere. So.
Yeah.